This is the Word of Truth broadcast sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Shelton Jr. speaking. We count it a privilege to be able to come in your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. In the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in John's Gospel, chapter 16, beginning with verse 7. Our Lord said, "It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you." Let us pray. Our Father, as we lift up our heart to thee at this hour, we do pray in Christ's name, that by thy Spirit thou wilt work effectually in our hearts, and these words which we have heard will be experienced even in this hour, as the Holy Spirit will take the things of Christ and reveal them unto each and every one of our hearts. So we look to thee to have mercy upon us and work in us as only thou canst work, for it is in Christ's name that we pray and ask. Amen. say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. My dear friends, we would be happy to hear from you this next week. And when you write, would you ask for your free book that we're giving away this month entitled Studies in the Person and Work of Jesus Christ by W.E. Best? This book has been going out every day. We've got many who've written back asking for copies for others. It's a precious book. It has to do with Christ, the eternal Son of God, the mystery of godliness, His incarnation, His virgin birth, His human nature, His human body, His human soul, His human growth, His impeccable life, and so on. His miracles, His death, His headship, His kingship, chapter after chapter, concerning the person and the work of Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord. I've read it 3 times, and it's blessed my heart every time. And I would like you to have a copy of it. It's free and post-paid if you will write for it. Ask for it by name, Studies in the Person and Work of Jesus Christ. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. My dear radio friend, I come before you today with a heart crying unto God for mercy for each and every one of us. Because of the spiritual darkness of our day and the unconcern for holiness and righteous living that is so manifested among so many so-called Christians. As you and I face the sad condition, the spiritual condition of our day, I wonder if our souls cry unto our living God. Mine does. O Lord, rend the heavens and come down. In wrath, remember mercy. Pour out Thy Spirit of grace and of supplication upon us, for we need Thy redeeming grace and redeeming power in this hour. My friend, never were there so many millions of nominal Christians on earth as there are today. Never was there such a small percentage of real ones. Not since before the days of the Great Reformation has Christendom been so crowded with those who have a form of godliness, but are strangers to its transforming power. I, for one, seriously doubt whether there has ever been a time in the history of this Christian era when there were such multitudes of deceived souls within and without the churches who fairly, verily believe that all is well with their never-dying souls, when in fact the wrath of God abideth upon them. Surely the scriptures that we've been using from 2 Timothy 3 in these warning messages on the false gospel of carnal Christianity applies to the condition we find in Christian today, as set forth in verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. This is the reason we've been delivering these messages, crying unto God to give us a heart of love and pathos and compassion as we do deliver them. For I know from personal experience that this is where I was one day, until God awakened me by His Spirit and brought me to Christ, and for this I praise Him and give Him glory day by day. Let me make another statement. Surely there is more light today upon the Word of God as Bible study groups spring up everywhere, but there is less life in Christ than there has ever been before. There is more professions today than there has ever been, but less sanctification of life. And it seems like everywhere you turn, everybody seems to be born again today. But where are the fruits of the new birth and of regeneration? There is more fasting, more praying, more preaching than there has ever been. But where is the practice and the power of true religion in Christ? As Isaac said to Abraham, "Behold the wood, but where is the lamb?" And I cry today, where is the Christ-like life? Where do you find those to whom the Lord Jesus Christ is precious and a living reality? We see many works and many duties, but where is the life, the power, the truth of what is done? I say surely the voice is Jacob's voice. Everybody is trying to say it right. But the hands are the hands of Esau. For the man has never been made a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you ask why? It is because the vast majority of Christendom today has missed Holy Spirit conviction. And my friend, you've heard me say it before, and I say it again today. If you've missed Holy Spirit conviction, you've missed the new birth. If you miss the new birth, you've missed conversion. If you've missed conversion, you've missed repentance. And if you've missed repentance, you've missed saving faith. And if you've missed saving faith, you've missed Christ. If you've missed Christ, you will miss heaven. And my friend, if you miss heaven, you're on the road to hell without hope and without God's Christ. And I say you're in an awful fix. And this is the reason the word goes forth today over this station. We may call all men by the power of God's Spirit and conviction to repentance and to faith and to turn to God from your evil ways. Listen now. The reason why this false gospel of carnal Christianity has been so widespread and so widely received is it because it makes no demands upon you. You see, it gives a form of godliness, but it doesn't give you the power. It gives you a covering so that these 18 sins enumerated here in 2 Timothy 3 that we have been bringing to you in the past weeks can be indulged in, and yet a man can claim he is saved and on the road to heaven. But my dear friend, I want you to remember what we've been pointing out to you in these messages, and it is this, that the Holy Spirit is here describing so-called Christians and not the world. He says men will be in the church or even out of the church saying that they are saved, and yet they are lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And from such we are to turn away. Listen now. I believe I hear someone say in their heart, Pastor, you've been on this text for weeks and showed us the fruitage of this false gospel of carnal Christianity. Now, will you please enlighten us as to why so many are deceived today as to God's way of salvation? My friend, I believe that's an honest question and certainly needs answering. And will you pray for us that by God's grace we will give you a biblical answer? Will you listen, if you've ever listened to one message, will you listen to this one today? For I desire by the grace of God to answer that question. As I said before, men have missed Holy Spirit conviction. Therefore, they are in ignorance as to their sinful condition before God and to God's holy requirements, for only the Holy Spirit of God can give a man a new heart and a new nature and give him power to turn to God from his idols. When the vast majority of the pulpits preach, there's no drawing of the line of demarcation. And there's no laying bare the hearts of men to the Word of God. And men are not made to see their awful condition before God, their sinful condition. This is the reason men are in the condition that they are. They come into our churches unsaved, unregenerated, because their hearts have never been open. You see, men know not that regeneration is imperative. And except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, as our Lord Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3:3. They know not that there must be a new creation, a miracle of grace worked in the soul to make fallen man a new creature, so they can be said of him, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Listen, let me bring this thought right here. Will you listen? People are using the term born again today, and they know not what it means. They believe it is something that man does. But my friend, the new birth is something that God does. It is wholly and completely of God's power and of God's grace worked in us by the Holy Spirit. In our messages on the new birth, we showed you that regeneration, the new birth, is God's work. For in regeneration, the sinner lies passive. It is in conversion that he is active to repent and believe and to turn to God from his sins. You see, it is because a person has been born again by the Spirit of God that they repent and believe in conversion. This is the evidence of their regeneration. Now get this statement. They're not born again because they repent and believe, but they repent and believe because they have been born again by the Spirit of God. Man today has the cart before the horse. You see, there must be a making of a new heart and a new nature, a preparation of the soul by the Spirit of God before there can be any change of life by the gospel of the grace of God in the soul as the man turns to God in repentance and faith in conversion. Again, men are deceived because they are ignorant of the fact that God must communicate to the heart a principle of holiness before there can be any holy affection, holy motion, or fruits. Hebrews 12:14 tells us, "For without holiness no man shall see the Lord." And by nature, man does not possess one grain of holiness. This must be worked in the soul by the regenerating power of God's Holy Spirit. Do you see, dear friend, under Holy Spirit conviction, you are made to see that you have no goodness and no righteousness, no holiness that God will accept. On the contrary, He shows you that all you can bring to Him is sin, for that is all that you are. Isaiah 1:5-6 puts it like this, "The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." Are you listening, my friend? These are the reasons why men have missed Christ and are taken in by this false gospel. They're ignorant that God must communicate to the heart a principle of holiness. Let's go further. So ignorant of the vast majority of today of God's way of salvation, that they do not take time to hear God's word, which says that there must be a denying of self before anyone can become a follower of Christ, according to Matthew 16:24. There has to be a setting aside of all of our wisdom and our righteousnesses and our strength and our desires, yea, and our own will and our own interest, before we can enter in. Romans 5:6 tells us, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." And it's the Holy Spirit's work to show us and open our minds that we would not be ignorant of the fact we must be without strength in our own selves and then know that Christ died for the ungodly. Or as Isaiah 64:6 puts it, "Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. We have nothing to stand in before God." Yes, we must, by the Holy Spirit's operation in us, be cut off from all that which is of the flesh and take ourselves before God as a lost sinner. For you see, Luke 19:10 reads, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." Men are ignorant of the fact that they must approach God and stand before God as lost sinners. My dear friend, in love to your never dying soul, may I ask you a question? Have you ever been shown by the Holy Spirit that you are spiritually lost? You see, Christ seeks and saves lost sinners. Have you ever been spiritually lost before God, not knowing the way out of your ruined spiritual condition, and that God, for Christ's sake, has to seek you and find you by His Spirit, or you'll be eternally lost? Has Christ ever found you, the lost sinner? If you're saved, God showed you, you were lost. My friend, I tell you the truth in Christ Jesus, and I lie not. This is the reason you've missed Christ, and He is not precious and real to you. It is because you've never been lost. As a lost sinner, you've never seen your ruined condition before God and cried out after Him. And the reason why this false gospel of carnal Christianity has taken the day is because those deceived by it have never known that there must be a renunciation of the world before anyone can be a follower of Christ. We read in 1 John 2:15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." There must take place a crucifixion to the world, and the world to you. Or we shall never enter into the blessings of the atonement purchased by Christ on the cross. Paul said in Galatians 6:14 that I have been crucified in the world, and the world has been crucified unto me. And how did this take place? The Holy Spirit was operative in his soul. Again, the reason why this false gospel of carnal Christianity has taken the day is because those deceived by it had never known that to walk with Christ in that living and loving union, which is a lasting union, there must be a plucking out of right eyes and cutting off of right hands, and a mortification of the flesh with its affections and lusts, so that we die daily, according to Matthew 5:29-30. Men deceived by this false gospel know not that there must be a taking up of the cross if any man will come after Christ, which will cost him the loss of ungodly companions, the scorn of professors, and many a tear and a groan, according to Luke 14:27. Men know not that the Christian life is a fierce wrestling and a continual warfare, according to Ephesians 6:12. A race that has to be run with patience, according to Hebrews 12:1. And that there is no discharge from this army of Christ, according to Ecclesiastes 8:8. I say, if the professed Christians today really knew these things, that God requires truth in the inward parts, which would show itself in a life of self-denial, then they would not be so nearly confident of heaven when they are total strangers to the very things required of all those for whom heaven is intended. Again, this false gospel of carnal Christianity is so popular today because it is the Broadway which leads to hell and makes no demands upon you as the true gospel of Christ does. You see, the true gospel of the grace of God demands repentance, the laying down of your arms of rebellion before God. My friend, listen to me. In true repentance, you learn to take the blame for your sins and your lost condition before God. You can't blame your mother or your wife or your husband, your sister, your children, your environment, or your helplessness. You take the blame before God, pleading before Him. You come before Him in specifics and not in generalities. You confess, "Oh Lord, my God, I stole those goods. I took your name in vain. I lied. I cheated. I hate my mother. I hate my sister. I am the adulterer. I am the adulteress. I am to blame for my unbelief. I am to blame for my evil nature." You see, you deal in specifics and not in generalities with God. There is a confession of sin. And like David, you cry against thee, "Thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." My friend, the repentance that God requires is a godly repentance. And it's a repentance that works godly sorrow in you because of sin against God. And it is described in 2 Corinthians 7:11 as a repentance that produces in you a carefulness. A carefulness to confess every sin and lay bare your heart before God. It works in you a clearing of yourselves before God, a coming clean with God, confessing all, hiding nothing, and taking the blame for all your sins. It works in you indignation against sin, a hatred for sin, a crying out against sin, and a fleeing from sin. It works in you a fear of sin, a fear of sinning against God, a fear of adding iniquity to iniquity. It works in you a vehement desire, that is, a desire to be through with sin and to know Christ. In other words, you want Christ and His salvation more than you want anything else in the world. It works in you zeal, that is, zeal in fighting against sin and fleeing from it. And then the last word that it uses to describe this godly sorrow for repentance that leads to salvation in Christ is the word revenge. You're careful to acknowledge God's right and justice in sending you to hell. My friend, have you ever asked God to have vengeance against your sins? Have you ever confessed to God that if you got your just deserts, it would be to be punished in hell? In other words, you want God to be just in whatever He does with you. You want Him to be satisfied. He tells you in His Word that He is satisfied with the work of Christ. Therefore, He can be just in having mercy upon you when you come with that godly sorrow for repentance, as you take in the blame before God. And my friend, when you come in specifics and not in generalities, and you take that blame before God, you can reckon and rest assured that God will have mercy upon you for Christ's sake. Well, this is true repentance. And this is the repentance that God requires. And this is the repentance that He gives by His grace. My friend, these are some of the reasons why so many are deceived today by this false gospel of carnal Christianity. I've tried to bring it down where we can understand it. They know not God's way of grace and salvation, so they are strangers to the power of the gospel, strangers to the power of the blood of Christ, strangers to the reality and beauty and glory of this risen Christ. There is no vital living union between their souls and the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore they know Him not and are taken in and deceived by this false gospel of carnal Christianity. And so I ask you in closing, has the Holy Spirit begun speaking to your soul today? Has He been speaking to your heart, showing you that you have been deceived by this false gospel of carnal Christianity? And I say, acknowledge what He shows you. Cry after Him in true repentance and faith. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. For as Acts 5:31 tells us, Christ was lifted up to the right hand of God to give repentance and faith. Repentance and forgiveness of sin. Then if God has dealt with your heart, would you write us and let us know? We may pray with you daily as the Holy Spirit works in your heart. My friend, write for a copy of these messages. We'll send them to you free and postpaid. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.